Welcome to the Truth Project with Kelly and Beth. This is where we explore and expand our knowing of the truth with a capital T through inspired conversation. Thank you so much, BBS Radio TV. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, everyone listening in your now. And of course, thank you to all our subscribers. Thank you for joining us, everyone. You got a copy, Beth?
I'm here.
Yay, it's all here. Hey, you know what? According to the calendar, it's this crazy Valentine's Day. But since you and I both know that this day is just another made up BS Hallmark holiday that supposedly celebrates love, I'm not going to wish you a happy B-Day. However, I know we both thought it'd be fun to explore what love actually is on this day and why it's one of the most confusing and misunderstood words in the English language. So, that's what I'm inspired to talk about. How about you? How would you like to start the conversation, Beth?
Thank you, Kelly. Oh, yes. When I marked out the calendar for my own personal calendar for when the shows were going to land a couple months ago, I got all excited when I saw the juxtaposition of our show on today, because I have really, I guess, passionate feelings about how important it is for us to reclaim the power of love, to reclaim what love really is. And so I'm super inspired for our conversation. And I'm going to start with, because we're not going to talk about Valentine's Day anymore. So I thought I would share a memory that my spirit brought to me when I woke up a couple mornings ago, and I was just basking in the energies of the new day. And this knowingness dropped in. And what I felt and went to was my very first Valentine's Day celebration, which was when I was in first grade. I didn't go to kindergarten. I got to be at home and play outside every day during kindergarten. So when I went to first grade, I stepped into this culture that was rather bizarre, and which I also loved. Like, every day was so unusual, because everybody knew what to do and they all did things. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was shown my very first Valentine's Day. And so my mom got all excited. I was the firstborn. So we all made Valentine's Day cards for a few days before Valentine's Day. And it was so much fun. And there were all this, you know, construction paper out on the dining room table and everything. And I was so excited to go to school with all these little handmade treasures. I remember the feeling of walking around and dropping cards in bags and seeing everybody do it. And then I remember opening the bag at my desk, and all these mass-produced, manufactured things fell out that had no light in them. And I was so kind of perplexed. And then there were like a couple handmade things that had all this light around them that were true treasures. And so what my spirit showed me was that contrast, and how even then I was like so bemused by how people couldn't tell the difference, you know?
Right.
So anyway, that's just led me to just reflecting in my own life today of how important it is to pay attention to those activities that we talked about this a little bit in the last show about adventure, and how the child in us loves the practice of creativity, and how adventure is connected to love. And it's very simple. And that's what we are going to explore today, is the beauty and the power and the presence of what happens when we learn to be present and available in our bodies, to ourselves and to each other, and why it's so confusing. So mm-hmm. That's what we're going to explore, right?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that experience. That's beautiful. I had the opposite experience. It was just not fun for me getting all those handmade cards and putting a person's first name and, you know, from Kelly, you know, it's like, why am I doing this? It was so stressful. I found it stressful, not fun. Thank you for sharing your creative experience with Valentine's Day.
Well, of course, it's because we all have certain things we love to do. And the shadow is whenever things get imposed that we all do the same thing at the same time and not from our own choice even, and not even
Exactly.
something we would want to do. So that's the aspect here of paying attention to what rises in us and what's authentic. And that's what we're going to explore today, how we can tell the difference between the natural flow of love and how love gets confused as emotions. I'm super, super, super inspired today, Kelly, for the breadcrumb song that you are going to share with us. It's a song that that had kind of dropped off my radar a little bit, and I now it's my current favorite song. It's like so profound and so beautiful. So, will you share our breadcrumb song today?
I would love to. Yeah, it's a powerful song, and I was actually privileged to see this artist last year live in a very small venue, and it was freaking amazing. Okay, so the breadcrumb artist is Sting, and the song is called Love is the Seventh Wave. And for the sake of quote time, I'm not going to repeat the chorus after every verse, but because there's a slight variation with each one. So not only do I just encourage you to listen to this song because it's amazing, but listen to those, notice those variations. So the lyrics go as follows. In the empire of the senses, you're the queen of all you survey, all the cities, all the nations. Everything that falls your way, I say, there is a deeper world than this that you don't understand. There is a deeper world than this tugging at your hand. Every ripple on the ocean, every leaf on every tree, every sand dune in the desert, every power we never see. Feel it rising in the cities, feel it sweeping over land, over borders. Over frontiers. Nothing will its power withstand, I say. All the bloodshed, all the anger, all the weapons, all the greed, all the armies, all the missiles, all the symbols of our fear, I say. At the still point of destruction, at the center of the fury, all the angels, all the devils. All around us, can't you see? There is a deeper wave than this rising in the land. There is a deeper wave than this. Nothing will withstand. I say love is the seventh wave. I say love. And yeah, take that all in. So I guess in the surfing world, surfers say that waves come in sets of seven. I didn't know this. Sets of seven, with the seventh wave being the largest and most powerful. That's why I was kind of curious about the seventh wave. So in the song, I feel Sting uses the seventh wave metaphor to just illustrate so beautifully that just illustrate love as a powerful, I guess I would say transformative force that, as he says in the song, nothing will its power withstand. And I'm just going to point out that Sting wrote that song in the 80s during the Cold War. Yet I still feel the resonance of those lyrics amidst just the chaos and confusion going on today. And I saw an interview he did. He says in that interview that the world is undergoing a wave of evil. And he goes on to explain that the song lyrics offer hope because behind that wave is a much more profound wave, which he says is love beyond selfishness. Love beyond selfishness. So I feel that's a great way to dive into our conversation about love. I know we're both feeling pretty strong about this song. So how about you? What comes up for you, Beth?
Well, while I was waiting for the show to start, I was just sitting here doing my command language, and I just read the lyrics, and I felt the truth of the rising and the beauty of these words, the every ripple on the ocean, every leaf on every tree, every sand dune in the desert, every power we never see, the deeper wave is rising, and the rising through all of the turmoil. And this is truth at such a profound level. And I can feel these words and the music just reverberating everywhere, the truth of it. So it just really filled me with so much peace and the power and the depth and beauty of what love really is. It fills
That's beautiful.
everything. The light
Yeah,
fills
it is
everything.
everything.
Yes.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Anything else you want to, did anything else come up for you today? I mean, you already said a bunch about it.
No, I love it. I love, this is the Truth Project, so truth. It just keeps coming up. Amazing.
Yeah.
It
It's rising.
is
I'm writing
rising.
a I'm crafting a newsletter message right now about peace energy now, and the finding calm in the storm. I was just filled with this morning too, as I was going over some edits of just the contrast when we're in the turmoil that he talks about here, and then when we go within and allow the light to rise within us, and it just alchemizes all of the turmoil, and we just know that all is well,
Absolutely.
regardless that this is all the process of the rising.
Yeah, and you keep saying that key word, within.
Yeah.
It's all within. So good, so good. Well, how do we want to explore what love is?
Well, well, the first place I am inspired to start is from the feeling nature of what source love is, and in contrast to the challenge of what the emotion of love is, and what how we've been taught to look for love. And so, the most basic way I can say it, explain it, is source love is the flow, what we've been talking about and exploring and feeling here. Source love flows from our heart center. That's what source love, that's what love is. It's a flow out of our hearts. That other words can be presence and peace energy, holding space. Love holds space. Love is always fully in the present moment. It doesn't have any limitations of time. It holds absolute authority. That's why love heals, because it is a knowingness of the wholeness and completeness. Well, one of the things that Q often talked about, and that Ron Amitron talked about, is how light beings only see our light. They always see us whole. And so the word love is problematic because it has other meanings, but that's what source love is that flow of our ability to open our hearts and be love. What would you say?
Absolutely. We were talking this week, and I remember, I think you said, it's just an unfiltered flow of light. I love that. An unfiltered flow of light. It's just perfectly flowing. You don't have to do anything. You don't use your mind. It's from the heart. So yeah, totally agree. Thank you, Beth.
Did you have you were telling me you found a couple of quotes, because one
Oh.
of the challenges is how love is so, it permeates everything. It's like talking about truth. How do we talk about truth? How do we talk about light? Because it's everything.
Yes.
I feel maybe you have a couple of quotes to read that also give other words so people can start feeling their own resonance or connection with this?
Yes. So I want to give a nod to For the People dot space. Please go see that website. And there's an article posted on May 15th of 2022 called Secret Soldier Max Spears. And it's titled The Love of a Man. And just I want to read a quick quote of his about love. He says, quote, "Not the infinite love that doesn't di differentiate or discern or judge or pretend. Real," in quotes, "real love doesn't separate or have hierarchy. Source love just is infinite and is infinitely knowing and doesn't know how to do anything but infinitely love." And I went down, I explored a little bit more, Beth. And he goes on to say, "Stay in your heart and you are bulletproof." Yeah, if they can make you feel shame, guilt, regret, or isolated, lonely, and worthless, then they are winning. Do not allow this energy stream. So yeah, so the goal is just stay in your heart, and you're bulletproof, and every one of us is a brilliant, bright, creative genius incarnate. That's what he says. So yeah, that was Max Spears, May 15th, 2022. And then the other one, Asha posted on July 7th of last year, 2025. It's called Ether. The headline is Creation. And the quote is, "We hold ether, plasma, and electromagnetic energy within our physical bodies, all important components for higher technology. We hold higher consciousness and source power within our spirit. We are more powerful than we know. We could say ether is the love or the heart essence of our creator," end quote. So yeah, it's so hard to define the word love using the English language, but man, I feel Sting's lyrics and these two quotes, these two posts do a great job. So yeah. What comes up for you in those quotes?
Thank you. It's been a while since I read the Max Spears article, which is fantastic. And I'd forgotten that quote, "Stay in your heart and you are bulletproof." That's so incredible. That's the peace energy now command that just activates our authority and banishes. Once we learn how to do that, we can instantly shift once we build that muscle. So I love that. I love that quote. It's not
And
about
we,
defending, it's about growing our light.
right. And in that space, we can notice the difference. We see it. That's what we're going to talk about, is the difference.
Yes, exactly. Once we're in our hearts, we are able to witness and observe in ourselves and others. Yes, we have to recognize the difference. Do you
So
want to
source love,
say?
do you feel like you've expressed source love and what you're feeling source love is?
I love the quotes. I feel like that was a great way to go big picture with.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think so source love is an expression of source. I love that word expression. It's like a conveyance or like a transferring of source light. So it's an allowance of that ether, the perfect peace energy we hold to within to just flow. I feel like it's the connecting frequency that just transcends all and everything and heals all. And it's that beautiful frequency that just it recognizes and merges with the source light within another. Yeah. But my question is, how do you recognize and merge with the essence of another if you don't recognize it within yourself? So, but I know we want to talk about love as an emotion too.
Oh, I just remembered one other thing, and then we'll transition to love as an emotion. One other feeling was that the Ether article ends with a reference to the movie The Fifth Wave. Is that, am I saying the right name?
The Fifth Element.
Fifth Element, thank you. The Fifth Element. And I rewatched the movie, I was curious to rewatch it. And the most inspired, there were two, the beginning and end were very inspiring to me. And at the beginning, this archaeologist is exploring the these hieroglyphs that are identifying the four elements, which are real. They are consciousness beings that create this world and other worlds, express themselves. And he's exploring those, and then he finds this reference to the fifth element, which we call ether. And that's the aspect of consciousness that permeates and unites the other elements. And he has this experience where he realizes that the column of ether rises like light and is what gives life to the rest of the universe. And then the movie's about how this beautiful woman comes who is embodying, who embodies source light throughout the universe and is just a pure radiation of love. So anyway, that feeling of how there's all these elements in consciousness, consciousness that create the world, and then there's the fifth element, which is the frequency of source light and what we could call ether that permeates everything and brings life to it. I love that image. So
Yeah,
thanks
that's
for
great.
letting
It's
me
amazing
share
how that was left out in our education. But it's not anymore. Yeah, watch that movie, The Fifth Element. Great movie.
it's fun. It's fun how they come alive at the end,
Yeah.
What's Bruce Willis comes to life at the end because his heart opens, and all of a sudden you see that he's human. It was
Yeah.
beautifully done, never spoken, but beautifully done.
Right.
So what shall we say? One of the ways I love to feel things, and I feel in because we do live in this world of contrast, the easiest way to understand things can be to understand and feel the opposite. Feel the spectrum. So, what would we like to say about love as an emotion?
Well, I love how Sting says it in his interview, love beyond selfishness. So for me, that's the contrast, right? It's a seeking for it's going outside yourself. It's a
Yes.
different it's just completely the opposite flow.
Exactly. That's the punchline, really. And I've experienced people having really big aha moments when they realize, oh, if I just go in my heart and feel as is my love flowing, or am I trying to pull something in? Am I seeking to pull something in? And that completely summarizes it. And then all the emotions, disappointment, jealousy, grief, sadness. Even feeling lonely and disconnected and isolated is an emotional wound. They're real. They're not love. They're wounds in our emotional body because we've been taught to look outside for we've been taught for eons to do that. It's common because it was a reversal. So we wouldn't actually know where to find love.
Right. Yeah, we like I said, doesn't it start with perfect presence with yourself, recognizing your light first? So it's just this unconditional, non-judgmental, just meet yourself where you are kind of presence, just allowing for what is and wants to show up, where there's no past, there's no future, it's just now. Just now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just now, there's another piece that is related to that the Max Spears quote, "Stay in your heart and you are bulletproof," is the other piece that happens is when people don't know people who are super empathic and authentically loving, if they don't know how to hold that field and they don't understand how that empathy can be a also a reversal that we unconsciously drop our feel to feel what someone else is feeling, then they don't have boundaries because they've moved into the emotional field. And that's when empaths get overloaded too, because they don't, because they, and I tend to do, I still do this sometimes. I can take a hit because I'll forget and move out of myself to look and explore an emotional field out of habit with curiosity or love or whatever, but I will move out of my heart to do it as an old habit, and then I'll take a hit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. That's beautiful. So then you're, then you're jumping into another timeline, really, and coming from I guess, mind energy, trying to figure out what's going on, right?
Looking, yes, it's just a, yeah, it's just moving in, yes, it's moving into mind unconsciously to look for something instead of staying in my heart and feeling it. Like I was working on a, I can't remember what it was, a week or two ago, and I was feeling, how can I write, how can I communicate this? Maybe it was getting the ideas for this current newsletter, and I wanted to write something about the calm in the storm without making people feel overloaded. And I also wanted to be authentic about the reality of the turmoil that's in the psyche. And I was like feeling authentically curious, how can I craft a message that will be helpful to everyone? And I went up and out to see what will be helpful for people. And I literally took a hit of the pain body right now. Yeah, and I don't know if this is making sense. I feel some listeners will understand what I'm talking about. I continually work with this habit too of going out to look for an answer instead of dropping in my heart and asking my spirit what will be most helpful.
Yeah,
It's
and
a
that's just another
reversal.
top that's another topic to explore.
What?
Someday, just going dropping in, not going out.
Yes.
That's a big distinction there.
Yes, yeah. So that empathic superpower that many, that desire, that the ability to feel the feelings of others leads to emotional overload until we learn how to strengthen our light body. I love that love is makes us bulletproof. We don't defend ourselves, we strengthen our light. So anyway, those are all different aspects of the learning to understand the feeling of emotion and recognizing that we all carry traumas, we carry wounds, we carry the wounds of our ancestors. It's all real, right? Well, this is an emotional planet. Will you share the story you told me when you were first learning learning from that you know what I'm talking about?
Well, when I first heard about Love It Out of Your Life, that one.
No, the one about I don't want to be that person.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it's confusing, and we are on an emotional planet, and what I love is that playing with emotions is a choice. There's a you've shared an analogy that it's like an ocean analogy. We can float on top of the sea of emotions, or we can allow them to overtake and sink us. And I'm like, but I don't want to be like Spock on Star Trek. I don't want to walk around and be Spock. I do want to feel. So yeah, I do like to play with emotions every now and again, but it's how deep we go with them, right?
Yes, this is an emotional planet, and that's part of the beauty of this planet is it the emotional aspect that was here of con that was here through contrast of our emotions or the feeling of our emotions. It was part of the beauty of exploration here, and then trauma and other densities, and also mind energy, was introduced, and then our emotions got overloaded. But our emotional bodies are a creation of the earth spirit to help us withstand the emotions and to protect our physical body from emotions. So, we all carry wounds and trauma. Underneath that is the beauty of feeling our emotions. That's part of the life on this world. And we can go to other worlds that don't have this. And we probably all have, we have been on other worlds too. But here, we are here to experience emotion. So it's not about banishing them or judging them. It's learning to hold space for our emotions, but and while not identifying with them, right?
No, I feel like it's learning to bring presence, aka source love, to a feeling or an emotion or, discomfort or whatever it is, or learning how we might bring our multi-dimensional ability to hold space for an emotional body wound. But I, yeah, like you're saying, I would say it's by building that baseline foundation of neutrality, of what it feels like to be fully present in our physical body, in our heart. That's where the ability comes to notice, observe, and witness from the heart center. So that's why I say I feel the mind to heart drop is probably the most fundamental command to do, because it helps build the muscle of presence of peace energy in the physical body.
Yes, I've started what I say the mind to heart drop many times a day, and I've just started saying peace energy now with it, or even just the shorthand is peace energy now. But I command my spirit to move all my thoughts from my head to my heart, fill me with peace energy now. And I say it until things get back clear and neutral and calm.
Yeah, perfect. I love that. Yeah, it's like presence is a process, right?
Yes.
It's allowing whatever is showing up to be there and to just love on it, basically, and then releasing it when it's ready to be released. But that's the process. It's allowance and the release process, I guess.
Yes. And even saying I love this, because even I love, even when you said like being holding space for something that comes up and loving on it, we have to know what we mean by that. We're not putting an emotion into the emotion. And so that's why this is so exciting to me, is to really, for each of us to begin to pay attention to the difference, because we really are overcoming eons of programming. One of the a really common misunderstanding that I've experienced with clients sometimes is the mistaking emotions for guidance, and how people will make decisions based on emotions or emotional responses, and not recognize that those are our trauma wounds that are internal that they need to attend to. It's the decision is to deal with the wound, not to make a make, not to think it's guidance about a decision. So
And when
anyway,
you're in, go
go
ahead.
ahead. No, you go
Oh,
ahead.
when you're in neutrality, that goes away. When you're just observing something and not attaching to it,
Then you don't.
not using it for anything, I guess
Right.
is what you're saying, right?
Well, it's even more is if there's an active wound, like if someone's making a big decision about something and it's really upsetting and they're aware of an upsetting circumstance, the first thing to do is to alchemize the what's upset internally before deciding what to do, because until you alchemize that emotional activation, you don't even know what you're deciding. You're deciding from your wound, which is who it could be a timeline, could be all sorts of things, but that's not the place to make that's not where your spirit's not in the wound. So you can't make a decision from your spirit. It's a I don't know if I'm doing a good job,
No,
but
that's good. That's well said. Yeah, you can't make decisions I mean, you can from an emotional perspective,
yeah,
but it's going to
we do it
lead.
all the time.
Yeah, it doesn't lead to good things.
It keeps us on timelines or keeps us in reactionary situations instead of transcending them. So all emotions are density in our bodies They're not guidance. The guidance is, oh, there's something going on. I moved to my heart. What's going on here? What is being triggered? And as you said a minute ago, then we can bring love to it, right?
Well, so you've been doing this work with kids, for a long time now, with adults for a while. So what have you learned, or what have you witnessed, in how true love, aka presence, heals?
Oh, well, that's like that opened
I know
up
that's
this
loaded,
whole
right? That's,
inspiration that I have. So what I've
yeah.
witnessed in my work with children and with adolescents, my previous work when I spent my days with them, is the way that how instantaneously children and adolescents can heal emotionally, how resilient we are when we're young, and our capacity to be authentic and live. That's why we learn the most from children, why adolescents are such important role models for us of speaking truth and calling us to be the highest and best, because they know authority when they're allowed to live that way. So, this living in presence, let me just take a breath here, because it is. So the work with children and the inspiration of being in a field that was in the present moment, that's the other beauty of children. They're in the present moment. So the field of love is present because it's just flowing from them. They're not in the past or the future yet. As I'm getting my own memories back, my knowingness is coming back of how, and as I've been working with adults and experiencing the way we heal just by holding a field of congruence that other people can also respond to, it just brought back all these memories of when we did this together 2,000 years ago, and how joyful it was, and how Hugh talked about this many times when he said how much more easily we all shifted 2,000 years ago, because we weren't carrying so much trauma and density, and when that people would respond to the light. And in my body, my memory of this is the joy that we all had. And the joy of children. Asha, on so many posts, she has pictures of Yeshua surrounded with children, and the joy, I remember that joy, and that's what we're getting back now. I'm seeing it in clients and people I work with who haven't been following the information that we've been following, but they're and they're authentically in their hearts, how easily people are shifting now. They know things to be true without huge explanations. This whole thing of having to figure things out and distrust things, if information's new, I'm just seeing people let go and drop in their hearts and say, oh, I know that. I know that's true. Beautiful. Everything's getting easier. And I'm literally feeling that joy coming back.
Me too. It's a cue often mentioned, the childlike nature that we are, the seal pup. Just be
Yes.
that. Be that.
So I know that speaking of shifting and how we are helping each other and the importance of us holding congruence for ourselves, and then that field of congruence, how it helps other people. This is how Yeshua healed 2,000 years ago. It's how we heal now. We hold congruence. And for ourselves, and then others. So I know that do you want to share a little bit about the experience you're having with a family member right now, and how you're practicing this in real time?
Yeah, sure. First, I want to point out the one of the latest posts from For the People, that space. It's called Genesis, and it's subtitled Creation and the Great Awakening. It was posted on February 7th of 26. The reason why I'm highlighting it is because to me, it's just exciting information. My translation of it is that there's this dynamic energy, an energy shift that's just fully present on the planet now. And that energy, it's awakening and motivating people on a global scale, like you're just saying, to live, create, to experience from, a heart-centered inspiration. So why that's exciting for me is because I am witnessing it. Those energetics are showing up just beautifully with an immediate family member of mine that I'm very, very close to. Yet this person is unawake and unaware, if we could call it that, of who they truly are. But their life just recently imploded, just completely collapsed just this year. So not very long ago. What I'm talking about is financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, all of it just came crashing down. But like many, their life was a house of cards, just built on a shaky foundation, and it completely fell down. So it brought them to a pit of kind of desperation, of despair, to the point where, they felt the need to use coping strategies outside themselves to mask the pain they were feeling. And Q says something that I feel hits the nail on the head in this person's situation and the current confusion and chaos going on globally. He says, the hardest part is watching it fall apart. And holy cow, it is very hard. I'm going to try to stay neutral here. It's very hard to watch someone you love dearly suffer. But Q's words have helped me just such a great deal to observe my loved one's situation from a new perspective. Because I've created the habit of staying heart-centered and neutral in pretty much all situations, I'm able to stay out of fear for their well-being and just be with them from a space of pure source love. So instead of joining, in their suffering, in their timeline, and going into fix-it mode, I've just been able to stay present and just let go of the past, let go of the future, and just stay detached from their timeline and support and help and assist them, because I've learned how to build a solid foundation within my heart space and be present with myself first. That's the ticket. So it's from that heart space that I meet them exactly where they are every day, and I speak to their heart, not their head. And so I'm helping them see how amazing and how powerful they really are. And I have them say out loud what they want to show up in their life out loud. It's so important. So because they're such a close family member, and because I know I'm multidimensional, like you're saying, I'm holding this authoritative space for them by knowing all is well. All is well. Nothing is wrong. Nothing's wrong with them or their situation. They're just experiencing a timeline shift, a reset. And I'm holding that knowingness for them and just watching them with curiosity and just anticipation of how source will and is showing up in their situation. So basically, my source love for them is acting as a conduit of healing. And I love how you say that love creates a container of wholeness. You've said that. So since the light knows the light,
Yes.
so I'm partnering light to light to help them tap into their own source love within themselves to reset and create the timeline they prefer, that they prefer. So to my amazement, from the rubble, it's actually happening. There's so many synchronicities showing up there for them right now in such a short period of time. So just, I know the energy available now is amazing. The process is brilliant. If you live from your heart center and you're fully present with yourself, So I hope this example gives hopium to anyone who's experiencing something similar. I guess my encouragement is to, I don't want to say learn, I want to say relearn, because we already know it. Just relearn to love yourself. Put the oxygen mask on yourself first. You don't need anything outside yourself to have what you want. And we all know this, no one can tell you what you are, where you are, and how you are. That is completely 100% up to you. And I personally see each experience like an oyster. You can find pearls. You can find so many pearls in endless, there are endless possibilities by staying perfectly present with yourself in every now moment. So source levels show up every time, right on time. And it's been fun to go through this and experience it. So thank you for helping me parse that out, Beth.
It's amazing. It's amazing to feel the truth of what you're saying. That capacity, this is the fierceness of the fierce quality of knowingness. Of we have to be fierce not to go into our emotions, right? When something really matters, when we're watching suffering on whatever level, whether it's in ourselves or in someone we love or a whole world that's
Right.
dismantling. We have to build that muscle of fierce knowingness, and that's and hold that authority that all is well. And
Right.
your ability to do that for someone you love dearly, because you're not holding judgment, they're not, they know that they don't have to have any resistance to you because you are simply holding even the word equanimity, you're just holding the knowingness, and it to them it feels calm
Right.
and nurturing.
And it's fun to see that response to the calm.
Yes.
It's very cool.
So this is love in action. The love with I'm start what I'm going to start doing is writing L, capital L, and saying it that way in my head, a capital L or a lowercase L. This is
Exactly.
big capital letter L in action.
I know we got to close it out. I just want to, because I know you kind of want to wrap it up, but we talk about finding true love, our true partners a lot, and I feel, we don't have to look very far because that love is right within us, and it takes go within to a whole new level, doesn't
Yes.
it?
There's a quote by Osho that keeps coming up because it's part of the text of one of my favorite cards in the deck, which is called Aloneness. And it's about our journey of return to ourselves. And the image is this very humble traveler on a path, and all this light is radiating from their heart. And he says there's a tremendous difference between loneliness and aloneness. When you're lonely, you're thinking of the other. Loneliness is a negative state. It's an absence. However, aloneness is the presence of oneself. Aloneness is positive. It's overflowing presence. You are so full of presence that you can fill the whole universe with your presence, and there is no need for anybody else. So that's the antidote for all of us, is to learn to reverse when we're having our own emotional issues, is to learn to reverse it and go back to our hearts and then receive that overflowing presence that fills the whole universe.
Which I would say, just I see it as light. It's just
Yes.
light. It's beautiful
Yep.
light, truth. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, do you have anything, just any other pearls that you want to share before we close it out? Because I want to know
Well,
what's going on at the alchemy school.
yeah,
So we
thank
want
you.
to make
That is
space
what I
for
was
that.
going to share because I have a new project that I'm really excited about, and I'm actually offering, it's a new class I offered last month, and I'm so inspired about it. I'm going to also start offering it online, and it's I'm calling it Inner Voice Tarot, and I'm working with the Osho deck. I've used the tarot myself as a spiritual, as a practical tool for dialogue with my spirit for my whole life. I understand it very well, and I love it as a practical tool for connecting my spirit with the intelligence of nature here in the world. And so I've recently moved to using the Osho deck because I understand how he designed it for Ascension. So in this new class, we're learning how to use the cards to dialogue with our spirit in this present now moment to help to support each of us in our own process of creation. And the class starts Sunday, March 22nd. And it's small group and it's going to be so much fun. And subscribers receive a 10% discount on this workshop or any of my other services. So just go to thealchemyschool.com and look for Inner Voice Tarot. And if you're interested in that or any other services, just contact me directly and I'll send you the code for your discount. And I'd be thrilled to have any of you join. It's really, really fun. So thanks for giving me space to share that, Kelly.
Yeah, I have personally experienced your, I don't know, the word expertise just is so, it falls so short. Just your knowingness about connecting with spirit. And maybe the word tarot is a little confusing or people might not know what it is, but it just throw that word away and just know that it's connecting with your inner voice, your inner guide, right?
Yes.
You're amazing at it. So please check out her website. So anything else? Any final words? We got 3 minutes.
Love yourself. Bring like so much love to yourself today. Love your body, love your life. We are showing, all of us are showing up in amazing ways. It's the most amazing time to be alive that's ever happened on this planet.
Yes. Yes. Love yourself. Be present with yourself. Yeah, I find that perfect awareness and doing what I prefer in every choice.
Yes.
When I'm in nature, whether I'm hiking, gardening, floating a river, when I'm loving my body, if I'm feeding it, moving it, whatever it is, just love yourself. It's so great. So thank you, Beth.
Thank you,
I'm having
Kelly.
so much fun doing this with you.
Me too.
Yeah.
Thank you, BBS.
Yeah. So we do encourage you to check out our Truth Project program page. It's at bbsradio.com/thetruthproject. If you contact us there, contact at truthproject.space. And we're going to see you again in 2 weeks. I love you, Dawn. February 28th at 12 p.m. Thank you, BBS Radio. Remember,
Bye, everybody.
the light of truth shines within. Now go love on yourself.